only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
You guys, it's taking it personally. I am so excited to take personally a little show that
we love so much.
We like to discuss. So welcome back to TIP, content creator and brand marketing specialist, Abby Bonadies. Abby, how are we?
We are good. We are ready to talk about our friends in the Hamptons.
So we just did a little, I've watched Summer House, the most recent episode twice, watched the after show twice, watched Carl's Watch What Happens Live. Did you have a chance to watch that?
I watched some of the clips. I didn't have it fully live, but
spoiler alert, a shit show.
Yeah,
like he did a top five reasons of fucking whatever, I don't even remember, and the number one reason
he's learned, I think,
yes, and the number one thing was like, I've learned, you know, I made the right decision with the breakup. And I just was so fucking mad on the heels of this episode to see him. I don't even know. But anyway, Abby Bonadies, we're here. We're deep diving Summer House.
Let's take it personally.
I know, we need to take it personally. How are you feeling about this season so far?
This season has been so fun, I think. Without putting aside that obviously there is some tumultuous conversations happening, the Jesse and West of it all, the girlfriendships, the fun, like they're actually like in the pool and having fun, and we're seeing footage of them out. Like, I think it's been a really, really good season. I'm very proud of them all.
I'm honestly really proud of them all, and I'm really happy with whomever is like fucking in charge of casting and what. I mean, I just think that they hit the nail on the head. Do not make a single change.
Nope.
Do not make a single goddamn change.
Don't change a thing other than we're fine to have Craig come, we're fine to have
I
agree, the main cast, for once, just leave it as is so we can see what happens next summer.
So I watched, because we had just recorded AG, I watched the Watch What Happens with Melissa and Meghan McCain, which was a little bit of a flop, I thought.
I saw Meghan's like things she would keep and change about Bravo, which were very hot takes in my opinion.
Yeah, she was sharing her unpopular opinions, and spoiler alert, those are also known as like Meghan McCain's opinions. It's just like she has, you know, she was extremely team Erica, like the worst possible points. She's just,
I'm okay with Rinna coming back though, but that could be for another AG.
Okay, so someone posted that on social. I was so annoyed. But then I started somehow yesterday watching like hours and hours of old BH out of order.
Fun.
And like a bunch of fucking clip packages, because you just watch one and then you forget to like stop. And then
you're 15 lost.
Later. And there were so many good. But I don't think the Rinna that we love lives here anymore.
Yeah.
We want old Rinna to come back, but it's too late. She's out-Rinna'd herself.
Yeah.
It would be new Rinna coming back. Do we want new Rinna?
It depends how much of old Rinna's in the new Rinna. But agreed. I think that casting-wise, it needs to say the same for Summer House, but some of Meghan McCain's hot takes were brutal, including the Paige and Craig of it all.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you about. So she said her hot take is like, am I going to fuck this up? Is it like, the hot take was like, they're not going to work out because they need to live in the same city. And she feels like Paige is kind of like dangling the carrot of one day I'll be ready for these things that Craig wants.
And she said like kicking the can or something.
Right. And Meghan doesn't feel like it's going to happen. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's wrong. I think Paige and Craig are meant to be. I think that they have it more figured out than they're letting on. Because if you do, I see so many clips of them doing other things, like they have their little Panera sponsorship and they do their Amazon thing, and like her TikToks, like she's in Charleston way more than it lets on the shows. I think they have it figured out in their own way. And I did just see a TikTok of some woman who went to a Sewing Down South event and allegedly Craig told her that Craig and Paige bought a house in Charleston.
Not the house that he's living in, and he just redid the pool?
House? Yeah, so that is what the TikTok said. I don't know what I can confirm or deny about that, but yeah, so I think they have it pretty under, you know, lock and key, and they're like, we're going to do it our way, and there are many, many people who live in two places. Like,
there are.
They have enough funds and enough support to be able, and their flexibility in their jobs to come to New York together and come to Charleston together and separate if they need to.
That's what I was thinking. Like, because I think that they have that kind of thing that a lot of couples who live not bi-coastal lives, but like in different states, and it could be bi-coastal as well, but like of we're not going to go like past X number of weeks without seeing each other.
And theirs is two.
Right.
It's not that long.
Although it is exhausting potentially, but if there's a way for them to shift so that if Southern Charm and Summer House do not completely overlap with each other, and I don't know that you can make that argument. Like I don't remember what their recording schedule is and if it's always this, well, I mean obviously Summer House like sort of needs to be summer. Right. Can't really be fall. If there's a way for Paige to be with Craig in Charleston when Summer House isn't in season and him to do the same with Southern Charm and also ensure that they're in the city enough, like why can't they be?
Why can't they?
Not like digital nomads, but like kind of.
Yeah. Also, Summer House is on the weekends. Why can't she go to Charleston during the week? Like, it's not that unheard of,
right,
to work somewhere during the week and go somewhere on the weekend, and when it's not Summer House she can work in New York during the week and go to Charleston for the weekend. Like, I don't think it's that crazy, and Charleston and New York are not that far from each other.
No, they're not. Are they not?
I mean, I think it's like, yeah, hour and a half, 2 hour flight. Like, it's so easy. They both live in like the city of it all, I think. So like for Paige to come from LaGuardia and Craig to go to whatever the Charleston airport is, I have no idea. Like, I don't think it's that crazy.
And I think the question really is like, is it sustainable?
When the kids and all of that is happening, which I don't know. That's for them to figure out.
Right. It might just be one of those things where they can't say definitively, we're choosing Charleston, we're choosing New York,
right,
or like a different space altogether, which would make literally no sense for them professionally. I think it just might be like, we're going to figure this out as we go. Like, maybe they might try to do something if they do decide to have children while the baby is still young, they'll figure something out.
I also think there is a world where like, sewing down south gets so big that Craig may sell it. Like, I don't know if he's always going to be in charge or needs to be that involved.
Right.
Like, it may do well enough where he could be like the chairman of the board and be able to pop in once in a while and do the appearances, or grow it to have a store that's not just in Charleston and things like that. Like, I'm sure they are considering all of those things.
I think he may have just opened or just like done something with a store maybe in Nashville. I think he is expanding.
That. See, so there's plenty of places and spaces for them to make their relationship work.
I think they genuinely love each other.
Me too.
I think they genuinely adore each other. She is good for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is good for her. Like, I don't want to put out any kind of
bad
energy.
Vibes. I
love
their energy together.
I love them
together.
So much. I don't want anything to happen to them.
They're just funny.
Yeah.
But they are real, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
Like, and they're not trying to hide some of those conversations from us either. Like, they did their little like picnic on the West Side Highway or whatever in the other episode where they like had some real combos with, they're like, okay, yeah, we're in love. We're going to make it work. Like, everyone else can just deal.
Yeah. And I just think there are so many relationships and dynamics, not even just on Summer House, but in the Bravo universe, of watching people who are unhappily together or watching people who are dealing with so much toxicity in their relationship, that there's something just so pure about watching two people who are admittedly imperfect, who have grown together, have grown individually, who are trying to make it work. I just think... I totally get people who are like, this might not work out, but I also just think like, let's just support them. I think they'll figure it out.
I think they will too. And I also think they have a really unique Bravo relationship of it all, because they both grew up on Bravo separately and have the mutual respect for one another. They understand it, which could lead us into the conversation about Kyle and Amanda, because Paige and Craig's identities are separate. Like, they had their Bravo identities separately, and now they're a couple, which just adds to the fun, which is different than some of the other Bravo couples we see.
Okay, so we need to talk about Kyle and Amanda.
We do.
So you are married.
I am married.
And you're self-employed.
I am self-employed.
Killing the game.
Thank you.
What was your interpretation of identity when it comes to Kyle and Amanda. Do you think that Kyle is viewing Amanda as his spouse, as his employee, as his colleague? Like, what kind of conversation do you think Kyle is having with himself?
I think the unfortunate thing is that Kyle views her as all of those things equally, but he needs to view her as his spouse first.
Mm.
And instead, because Loverboy means so much to him, and I'm Team Loverboy. I mean, I have
my hat. Yeah, you're literally wearing it. You're great in it. It's a great hat.
Thank you.
Designed by?
Designed.
Amanda.
Of course, because she is.
She's actually the face of Loverboy.
She's actually the face of Loverboy.
She's the secret sauce. No, yeah.
She is. And that shows. And I think that he doesn't communicate properly that she means so much to the brand, that means so much to him. But that's something like a husband needs to say as opposed to an employer. And I think that he blurs the lines in those conversations and doesn't know how to separate work from marriage.
Well, it doesn't sound like Loverboy is like the easiest place to work, by the way.
No, it doesn't.
Carl's not saying great things about his experiences working there.
And a lot of startups aren't. Like, they're hitting the pavement. Like, you know, when you're grinding it out, like, that's what you're getting into. And I just think Kyle, from what we've seen on many seasons of Summer House, has always had that like entrepreneurial mindset. He tried the bird dogs, he tried all those different things. And like, I think he just knew what it was going to take and it was going to be hard, whereas opposed to everyone else, maybe saw the bright side a little bit too much and didn't really realize how brutal it was going to be for a while. And I just think Kyle has like accepted that, but doesn't understand that not everyone can just like compartmentalize how hard it is to have a startup.
I think he's also decided that this is their dream. That like
their dream.
He doesn't seem to understand that the dream of success, sure, a dream of success might be universal, but the dream of like identity and how I identify myself in my work, it's just so alien to him in a way that's kind of, I don't know why it's so surprising to me that he doesn't get this, but it just feels like he's so wildly misunderstanding, not just his wife, but whether or not employees owe him their lives forever and ever. Amen.
I agree. I think that, unfortunately, he can't separate that everyone else isn't as passionate about it as he is. Mm. And he holds that against them, which is not good.
Right.
But it's sad because you don't want friendships or relationships to break up over a business.
Right. But I think for Kyle, it's more because if Kyle identifies in as an entrepreneur in this way, this is his entire universe.
It's his life.
And it's like nobody is negating his work ethic. Obviously, he's like working around the clock and he's filming this TV show and whatever else he's doing. But when he's trying to use Amanda's, in his eyes, lack of work ethic against her by saying, like, you can barely get out of bed, you can barely do these other things. It's like, I wish he just had the level of distance or emotional intelligence or maturity to understand that, like, yeah, that might not be who Amanda is. That might just be who Amanda is when she's working at a place where she does not want
she's
to
not
continue.
Excited.
She's not excited. Like, she's also not saying, I'm giving you 2 weeks. She's saying, I need to do something for myself.
And I also think many of us have been in that situation where you are working somewhere, it is not giving you the good vibes, and you have a hard time feeling inspired. So I think if Amanda does something that inspires her separate from Loverboy, it will only benefit Loverboy because then she'll be generally more inspired, more creative, more excited. And that will show in everything. It'll show in her marriage. It'll show in her interest in Loverboy. And it'll, of course, show in whatever her passion project is that she does pick.
Yeah. And I think for Kyle, he's thinking, I can't lose her. I can't afford to lose her. And
he's going negative.
He's going negative. And he's also thinking like, oh, you're going to fucking create something and then I'm going to be responsible for doing that too. Well, like, spoiler alert, I'm not available. But then I also think of like, well, that's what Amanda's been doing.
Totally. That's what Amanda did.
She's been doing this for a number of years. You're telling her you depend on her and also saying if she has a project she wants to work on, I don't think it's just that he's not available. I think he's saying I would refuse to do it.
Right. Which probably was the heat of the moment saying that. Like, I don't think he would actually not support her if she did something else. I think he loves her enough to support her. But I think he will have some frustration that it's taking the time away from Loverboy until they get to that point, hopefully, where he realizes that she just needed a little oomph in general that will inspire her across the board.
Okay, here's what I don't know, and this is based on my own lack of experience, is that I am not married. Mm-hmm. So when it comes to his, like, well, these are his initial reactions.
Yeah.
To me, as a complete outsider to this kind of relationship dynamic, like being married, let alone working with your spouse in that way, plus also filming it for reality TV,
right.
Like to say, like, well, these are his just initial instincts. Isn't that enough of a warning sign that, like, he seems incapable of listening to her when she is telling him something that he might not want to hear?
I think that all of those things you just listed are a factor in that conversation. Like,
okay,
they're on a boat, drinking with their friends, mm-hmm. filming a reality TV show, which in his head is another job.
Because mm-hmm. it is. It quite literally is.
Quite literally
and
is.
One influences the other.
Exactly. Yep. It was the end of the boat day.
Mm-hmm.
They probably had 10 million other conversations that day, that weekend, that related to this somewhat behind closed doors. They probably had plenty of conversations during the week as well, but Amanda, being the kind of more quiet one, usually probably just doesn't feel like dealing with the confrontation. And this to Kyle was like a jump scare of a time for her to all of a sudden start sticking up for herself. So he reacted poorly and she didn't really know how to handle that reaction because it took a lot for her to work up the confidence to say that to him. And I think it was very much a time and place thing where, like, if they were to revisit that conversation on Tuesday after a couple days of resetting after being in the Hamptons, like, it would probably go differently. And they could both recognize that maybe that wasn't the exact moment to have that conversation.
I don't know that it would.
I guess they're still together, so hopefully something works.
Like, should they, though? Should they be together? What are we watching happen here with their relationship? It just feels
not great. I feel like we just see such a small part of it. Like, now, yeah. I consume a lot of the Summer House cast mm-hmm. content, and now that we have West and Jesse there, they are posting so many fun videos and TikTok mm-hmm. compilations and Instagram carousels of their time over the summer. And almost every single one of Wes's videos on TikTok, Kyle and Amanda are hugging in the corner. They're singing karaoke together. They're playing in the pool. They're doing like normal couple happy things. And like Summer House's editing just has never been accustomed to showing us the happy of Kyle and Amanda. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that is a through line of Summer House, is the drama between Kyle and Amanda. And that is just in the history of the show. So now that we see, like, there is plenty of other happy stuff happening that we just don't see in the 45 minutes of the show when there are six different stories going on.
That's a really good point. Yeah, I wonder how much, I mean, because the edit is obviously furthering this narrative that this, right. To me, this marriage is like, I mean, it's not at a great spot right now.
From how they're showing it, for sure.
But it also feels like how she's discussing the show is focused on what's shown. But on the after show, I'm really not getting the vibe that this, it's not that this doesn't exist in the relationship. It's that other things also exist,
yes.
Including like happiness and fun. But if this is still a part of it, it's just hard for me. It just feels to me unsustainable. Just the amount of emotional effort to constantly have to define the ways that she deserves to have like ownership of her yeah. life. I just can't imagine having a partner who doesn't get that.
Me neither. But also, I feel like this is kind of the first time we're really seeing her seriously express that.
True.
Like, she has kind of wiped it under the bridge for so long and maybe expressed it to others, which is why we knew she was mm-hmm. feeling that way. But Kyle, I mean, I'm not saying it's a good thing, but like, he's busy. He's yeah. worried about himself. If she's not saying it to him, he's not very tuned in right now to be like, ooh, something seems wrong. Like, instead, it's coming across like, oh, you're not getting out of bed. You're not inspired to have this work ethic. It's like, maybe, Kyle, maybe something's bothering her. Maybe you should say, is everything okay? Or like, there's some stuff communication-wise that they probably are still working on, because she has she hasn't really told him this before, that she wants something of her own.
Mm.
And she's now just figuring that out, too. I think it's the first time she's kind of verbalizing it to herself as well, that like, oh, I have other passions.
Yeah.
So I think it's a work in progress for them. I have hope for them, too.
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. I started taking Hormone Harmony because for me, that time of the month feels like it became the entire month, dealing with cravings, bloating, not feeling like myself. Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. My number one, supporting hormonal balance and regulation. Hormone Harmony also helps relieve symptoms of menopause, improves sleep quality, relieves hot flashes and mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It is zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndyScrolls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndyScrolls for 15% off today. I also think if they want their marriage to work out, he needs to bring somebody else on board to support something having Absolutely. To do with the creative and brand identity. It cannot, nor should it be just her in charge of that.
For sure.
And I understand that like they're not seemingly making a profit from what he's saying on the show.
Which
and
most
on the
startups
after show.
Don't in the first, whatever, 5 years.
But hasn't it been a couple of years? How many years has it been?
I think so. But they're like... You know, I think they focus on like the spend money to make money. Like they focus on the growth. They have so many products. Like I think they were maybe hoping that the show would give it like a little more oomph. But like I used to work in alcohol advertising and like it's really hard. Like there are so many rules with alcohol, with like the way you can promote it to making sure it's age gated and all that stuff. And the right people are seeing it and getting it in the different stores and approvals and all that stuff. Like, it is not easy. Like, he did not pick an easy route of product to get to people. So they're like, they're on a grind big time. And it didn't surprise me that they're not profitable yet, especially because the sparkling canned beverage of it all is like, there's a new one every day.
Mm. How did you make the decision yourself to become self-employed?
I would say similar to Kyle, I enjoyed being my own boss, making my own schedule, which maybe comes across controlling on his part. But, you know, it's something I've learned from watching him and many other people start their own businesses. But I really felt like inspired, which is what I'm hoping Amanda will feel. Yeah. I really felt that doing this full time is what actually got me up out of bed in the mornings, not the grind to the office and all of those things. And I'm a very, very big proponent of doing something that makes you happy will make you successful because you want to be doing it. And I know not everyone can be obsessed with every part of their job, but she has a little bit of control over finding something that inspires her. And he needs to understand that that is a big part of what makes people want to have work ethic.
What do you think he's probably feeling as he watches these episodes? And would it make for him just like, is Kyle's understanding that like he overreacts in certain situations, potentially, if that's even his understanding? Or do you think it's like, no, there's, do you think he would be able to see if there was a larger issue here with how he treats his wife?
I think he would probably be able to see it. Would he be able to see it after he's had 6 lover boys on the beach? Probably not.
Right.
But like, if he is willing to take the time and energy to sit down and do counseling or whatever it is, like, I think he can do it because there are little moments where you see him talking to Paige or you see him talking to someone. You can see he loves Amanda so much. He just doesn't know how to like compute it properly because he's so business minded that like he forgets that he needs to be like an emotionally supportive spouse as well, and that business isn't their whole life. And a lot of people don't measure success based on business success. They measure it on happiness, and they have to find that balance together.
Do you think that if he was in a different line of work, he would be able to do that? Or is that just a Kyle thing?
It's so hard to say.
Yeah.
I mean, the reality TV of it all makes it so hard because their life has become a story instead of it being their business is hard, but they also have their home to figure out. Now it's their home that they're trying to figure out, the world watches and comments on as well. So that's an added pressure that a lot of us like can't really relate to.
Not that I want to end the Kyle and Amanda of it all, because it is so fascinating, but I do need to shift a little bit to what we're watching happen with Lindsay and Carl, because a huge part of their tension with each other and fighting with each other has been about identity around work.
Yeah.
And it's just so fascinating to watch Carl in... I really, really disliked his Watch What Happens, but I also really was very frustrated by his behavior in the most recent episode, because there seems to be like a stopgap with him really understanding identity and work, like, and how he identifies himself and how that impacts the kind of work he's potentially looking at. Like, he's skipping over a lot of this in a way that's probably not productive for him long term. But I also don't know how he sees himself long term, because that's a whole fucking question in and of itself. But
I think that he doesn't know.
Yeah.
And I think that all goes back to the fact that they should have never started dating when they did, because that's exactly what his coach and process told him, was to not get in a relationship when he was still figuring out his shit, and he did the opposite. And that's probably why they are where they are, is because he wasn't ready, and who's to say where she was? She was already almost too ready, that it was like she was ignoring certain red flags because she just wanted to be married and start a family so badly, which is good and bad in itself.
The way that he said to her, and this is my paraphrasing in my opinion, but the way he was just like, I just need a mom. Mm. That's what I got from his conversation with her. I need someone to just tell me, maybe, and this is specific to his relationship with his mother, because there are, it's a happy Mother's Day. There's a complete spectrum of different relationships you can have, but it feels like with his relationship with his mom, he goes to her for emotional support and gratification. Mm-hmm. And in his conversation with Lindsay, the way he was like, what I want from you essentially is cheering in silence. Mm. And that to me was very frustrating to watch, because we saw her tell him, like, he's saying, I'm overwhelmed. She's saying, what can I do to help support you? If you're telling me you're doing too much, what can I do to take some of like the pressure off of you? And he kind of laughed at it.
Because I think like, Lindsay's delivery says it all. It is not her words. And I personally can tell in these scenarios, like, she is annoyed. She doesn't want him to work at Loverboy. She didn't want Kyle to be a groomsman. And she says it all without saying it. And I think he can read that on her. So he already is like, I know how she's going to react. So he gets worried about how to say it right. And then it's just this mess. It explodes every single time. And it's like, just the way that she said, like, I'm not even saying anything. It's like, well, you just said it all right there. You're annoyed, and that's okay. You're allowed to be annoyed. I'd be annoyed too if Carl was like, I swear I'm going to get a job by the end of summer. Like, but I think that their communication is so off that they're just already assuming how the other one feels without actually listening in the moment.
I hear you on that, but I don't think she did anything wrong in that conversation. I think she came in repeatedly trying to like get a sense of things and try to understand and also ask questions and not be a robot. And I think he used every single time. I think he was I don't want to use the phrase gaslighting because I just think it's used so ineffectively and also so just so frequently that it's lost. And
sometimes
meaning.
Like out of context, so people get confused.
100%. But I think he was being potentially subconsciously emotionally manipulative with her in that moment. I really do. Like we've seen, I don't need to like, listen, we know who Lindsay is. We've seen her say and do things this season that I think have crossed lines with the cocaine Carl and everything else. But I do think
she has her own issues.
She has her own issues, but she's not responsible for Carl's in this way. And he does not seem willing to understand that his decisions in life affect her. He's still treating her like a friend. And she is saying repeatedly, I am your partner. I want to support you. But also, sweetie, like, your decisions are going to affect me. She has the right to ask questions about what their life is going to look like, which includes how he is going to be making money and doing work. And he doesn't seem, he seems annoyed at that. Like he's punishing her for having proposed to her in a way that I just think is so unfair.
I think it's unfair 100% for him to punish her in that way. I also think that like, we can't ignore the fact that like Lindsay put a lot of pressure on Carl, like in the relationship speed of it all, like subconsciously maybe too, just because we all know how much she wants a family. Imagine how much he feels that pressure. So she's probably like, TikTok, egg freezing, this, that, and the other thing, family, I'm this age, da-da-da, I already tried with this many boyfriends. And he was probably like, well, holy shit, like, if we got to have kids, then that means we need to be married. If we have to be married, we need to have a wedding. And then if we have to have a wedding, that means I have to propose like yesterday. So he was probably like, well, this is the timeline. This is what I have to do. She had it written out for the sandwich guy, like had a timeline to the month of what she needed in life. And like, that's a lot of pressure for a guy who's just getting sober, figuring out his new journey in life, lost a sibling. Like that's deep and a lot for, I think, maybe a guy to handle as well. We're maybe a little bit more multitask, emotionally intelligent, able to handle those sort of things, whereas guys can compartmentalize and focus on one thing at a time, but that leaves some other things on the wayside and they just like do, where we're like think. And I think that that is just another one of the million reasons they weren't meant to be at this time, at least. And like becoming friends and getting into a relationship, sure, seems like, oh, that's easy, I'll just marry my friend. But it's like, that comes with a lot of hard battles. Like you just said, like, they still think of each other as friends. And like, she's still saying cocaine Carl and all those things that came from when they were friends. And bringing that into a relationship didn't give them a chance to form a romantic relationship.
That's a great point. I mean, I think that when people maybe take that leap of like having a friendship and being platonic and then going to romantic, you think that the shorthand is a benefit, but it's often not.
Nope.
It's like you're skipping over these things because you trust each other, you know each other, but you don't know each other in a relationship.
Yep.
And how is that compounded when Carl doesn't know who he is?
Exactly.
He doesn't know who he is as a friend. Maybe as a friend, but there's a lot less pressure on him to have to answer for his decisions if he's not in conversation with a partner than who he is in a relationship. I don't think he has a fucking idea of who he is in a relationship with like Carl and Lindsay. They should not get married. No. Absolutely. 100%.
I agree with the one thing he said on Watch It Happens Live.
Yes.
Whether it was his decision or
it
not.
It was a shitty way to say it.
The decision was the right decision.
It was the right
decision.
It was the right decision. And also she like sidebar said like, well, my parents would never tell me not to, they would never have feedback. And it's like, I get what you're saying, sweetie, but like, if we're going off of your parents would never say something, you might be married right now. And that would be a worse situation
and
than
also,
being
like,
single.
You, as someone like Lindsay, who has had like a tough situation with her family, like she doesn't necessarily understand, or why would she? She didn't grow up with it, but like how much value certain people value their parents' opinions. And she's kind of like, well, we're our own thing. Like, I don't really care what your parents said. Like, shouldn't it be us first? But some people like Carl, who are very attached, especially, like I said before, just lost a sibling and now feel this immense responsibility to be connected to his parents. Like, there's just a whole other level there of misunderstanding between the two of them based on their own stuff they haven't figured out within themselves.
I don't think it's that Lindsay doesn't understand like a parent's opinion.
No,
I think
no.
that she just has a different
value
relation
towards it.
I don't think it's about value. I think it's just she has a different relationship to discussing her romantic partners with her dad or her stepmom.
Right.
it's just that she has a different way different of talking dynamic. About things with Carl. And I think Carl substituted being honest with his partner by talking things out with his mom.
Yeah.
And like, there is a point that could be made as to what he was saying to his parents and how that was influencing their role of his relationship, and then not also saying it to his partner. You
definitely.
You can't just do one and not the other.
You definitely can't. And I'm just so curious if he even tried to say these things to her off camera or anything like that. Like, because both of their immediate reactions mm-hmm. have been, but we have this wedding we're paying for. We have the wedding already. And it's like, if you were really talking about what's going on, mm-hmm. fuck the wedding. Yeah. Like, if you're really talking about what's going on, that's not your first reaction. Your first reaction is like, holy shit, like, we need to figure this out together. Not like, well, we have all these people flying to Mexico. Like, that's probably fifth on the list. And I'm so curious what the conversations were happening with them during the week. When they're in the city living in the red house together, paying $13,000 a month for their apartment.
Nuts.
And I feel like, again, like we were saying with Kyle and Amanda, like for them to be having that conversation on camera at the kitchen table when any of those cast members could have walked right in to the conversation at any moment after a night out, before another party, like she said, you ruined my dinner, you ruined my pool party. Like that's where their heads are in that moment. That's also probably not the time where that conversation needed to happen.
Yeah, and maybe it also needed to happen because they're filming a reality TV show. It's
exactly.
Like
the forced combo of it all doesn't give them the time to process what they really want to say properly.
Yeah, like the benefit here, what are we trying to do in this moment? Like obviously they're trying to talk out what is going on with Carl's future and his work and whatever else, but they're also participating in a reality TV show. I just think the way that he was responding to her, obviously he's so mired in a level of anger toward her
right.
that he's going to pick up whatever the fuck he wants. But I don't, and I know it's hard to like pull out this one scene versus the entirety of their relationship.
Right.
But I'm just thinking from the last several weeks or whatever, when it comes to toxicity in relationships, it's easier to see Lindsay's because it's so loud.
Yeah.
Like when she does something and she makes a big fucking miss, it's so loud and present to see, but he is so fucking toxic in his own
passively.
Way.
Passively.
So passive aggressive, so emotionally immature, so unable to express himself that it's not to me a matter of like Carl and Lindsay shouldn't get married, which of course they shouldn't. It's like Carl shouldn't be in a relationship at all.
Totally.
He is like,
that's
so,
exactly why they told him not to.
Right. And I just don't know that he understands that. Like yeah. he's so lost in so many ways. He's lost in what he wants to do with his work. He's obviously in denial about how difficult and maybe toxic it was for him working at Loverboy. And I understand he wasn't sober at that point, but yeah. I also think like that, you know, as you said earlier, like just working at a startup, like
yeah.
that brings with it a lot of
totally
chaos potential, sure, but also chaos. It just feels like he's so lost. And to a certain extent, Lindsay is becoming responsible for that, for asking questions that I think anyone would ask.
Yeah, I think anyone would ask them for sure. And I just, unfortunately, she's asking them, but she knows Carl doesn't have the answers.
But she's trying to help him.
Totally.
She is.
He's not ready for the help.
Right. And obviously he's recognizing that they're not supposed to get married. Like we're seeing that. I just wonder if she is. I think that she had so much hope that this was going to work out that it really wasn't a question of whether or not it was. It was just like, how do I adjust to make this work? And I feel sorry for her in that way because
definitely.
She was not able to see or acknowledge the fact that like this was not going anywhere.
Well, I feel bad for her in the sense that like she like can't get out of her own way, like with the direction she wants for her life and the family and the kids and the timeline and all of that is totally fair, and she was actually settling on so many things that were very important to her just because she wanted that end game so badly. Whereas now I hope whoever her next partner is, she, like, this is kind of like what we were saying on AG about Teresa. It's like, she does deserve to have someone that isn't a mess. Like, she deserves to feel what it's like to not have to be the partner's mom, to actually feel like, wow, I just am in love and I'm vibing with the moment and I feel confident that a future will come, instead of just like, well, this is the person, let's plan out the future. Like, I just hope that she can relax a little bit more in her part, in her next partner, knowing that hopefully that next partner will give her the confidence and comfort that she deserves, that everyone deserves.
Yeah. And I think she's, I think she can be a lot, but like, she knows who she is a little bit in that, or maybe more than a little bit in that way. I just think that, like, in that scene, he was using against her aspects of her being reactive that I did not think were present in that conversation. And the way he just kept being like, you're getting upset or you're not listening to me, and just repeating back these things, is just so unfair and so manipulative in a way that I don't know that he's held responsible as much as she is, because her toxicity or reactivity or whatever is just louder. It's easier to hear when it is that loud, but he has his own shit. And I just, again, I can't stop referencing this, and it might be really unfair, but it just felt like he was gloating on Watch What Happens in a way that I thought was really gross to watch. I just, it's not, I'm not saying he's a bad person, I'm not saying she's a bad person, but I do think that, I don't know how to describe it. It just was frustrating for me, because it felt like he thought he was like maybe winning a little bit in a way. I don't know, but I know that they like are so angry at each other that I understand that that's present too. It just was, it left something in me where I just felt a little annoyed.
He probably is angry, and in his,
he's right to be angry.
He has a right to be angry. They both do. They both rushed right into it. They both said things on camera and in confessionals and things that, like, when you watch that again, like, that is going to piss you off, and that's going to stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing for them what they went, probably conversations they had together off camera versus what actually happened on camera probably pissed them off, knowing how different certain things came across. But that, in that conversation, you know, kind of like what I was trying to say before, is like, he reacted that way, being like, you're just yelling, da 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 da, and she straight up wasn't in that moment.
Right.
They just already decide how the other person's gonna react, and they didn't even give each other the chance. Like, it was just doomed.
It was. The other thing that kind of annoys me, so I really stood up for and defended the decision that Carl's parents made to like go on their trip to Mexico. Because I said, you lost this money, you're not getting your money back, there's no reason not to do it. I don't, even if Carl is the one who like did the breakup, I don't think his parents should be financially held responsible. And I think a lot of people, including Lindsay's friends, went on that trip, and everyone had every right to. I don't think anything poorly of his parents were going, even if they're the parents of the groom. I don't think anything poorly of her friends going, even if they're friends with the bride. I just think that, like, this is a shitty situation. The family members and loved ones are put in a really, are in a really shitty dynamic, and nobody should just lose several thousand dollars as a result. That being said, I don't know if Lindsay said this on Watch What Happens or where the fuck it was, or the after show or what, but she said recently, like in the last week or so, that she has not heard a single thing from his mom or stepdad since they broke up, that there has been no communication whatsoever. And I just felt a little, I felt a certain way about that, knowing her history with abandonment.
Yep.
I just thought, for his mother, not, and I get how difficult this is, but I also think it's going to be difficult regardless, to not send a little, I'm so sorry that this didn't work out, I love you, and I know that you're going to meet someone who you're meant to be with, or something, or just like, I'm sending you love. If we are to take her at her word that she has not heard a single thing from his parents, which most important to me is his
mom,
who she has known for many years, I just don't love that. I'm not saying his mom is a bad person. I'm just saying there's something about that that is devastating to me, especially because she was not the one that initiated this conversation, and his mom knew it was coming.
It's so complicated and sad.
I know.
Like, and just, I picture Carl's mom as just, like, sad. I picture that a lot because of obviously what she went through, losing a son. And I'm like,
I can't imagine.
She has like probably a whole other complex of like, well, now I'm losing Lindsay.
Yeah. Now I'm losing a daughter.
Who I saw as a daughter. And that's like a whole other thing that like isn't fair to anyone in that scenario. It's like there was no right way to do it. And I think it's obviously too far gone now for her to reach out, but maybe not. I think that as a mom, knowing Lindsay, knowing how it all went down, I would hope that she has reached out by now to right the wrongs, even if they weren't wrong. Because I do think Lindsay deserves some sort of closure. But then again, the mom may just be like, it's for them to deal with. I don't know. Like, I come with Carl.
I get that it's them for them to deal with, but some sort of acknowledgement that Lindsay is loved. I don't think it's like, and God only knows all the shit that Carl said to his parents about Lindsay. Like, I get that. And they're obviously counseling him not to be married, which I think was the right call. But they also said during that conversation, like, we love Lindsay.
Right.
Maybe tell Lindsay that you love her.
Yeah.
Like, tell Lindsay that, because Carl is not doing a great job of like navigating this. And I just felt like if there are some adults in the room, which his parents obviously are, and to know how public this was, to just give a little private support. It's not that they're saying we're choosing you over our child, just to say that we're sending you love. I understand how awkward it is.
Right.
But I also don't think it's a very big lift. I really don't.
No, me neither. And they may have like residual fear of like what Carl has, that Lindsay might freak out or post about it or yell at them or come at them or whatever it is. And like, that's not a fair reason not to give her the love that you're saying. Like, give her the chance to respond the right way.
I really don't think that she would have responded. And if she did,
we think that. I don't know what they think.
Yeah, that's true. That's a really valid point. And we haven't heard from his mom. I also think, I'm hoping that this was bad editing, but the editing around her bridal shower was so fucking weird, because she like didn't acknowledge his mom at all. And then she's talking to her stepmom, and then his mom is like making a move to like try to be involved in the conversation. And I just really hope that that was editing, and that the first time she acknowledged her future mother-in-law wasn't when the mother-in-law was like, "Hi, I'm here." Like that was very uncomfortable.
Yeah. That whole bridal shower was not, it was not great, especially something about it just felt so off.
Yeah.
Knowing we have seen her beyond warm and loving with Mrs. Radke, whatever her name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Carl's mom. And knowing we didn't see her hug her and get excited. And then for whoever the friends were sitting at Lindsay's table, I don't know if they were cousins or friends or whoever they were, we've never seen them before, Lindsay like introduced her stepmom to these best friends said like, she's been my rock forever or whatever it is. And it's like, well, these are your best friends. Shouldn't they already know her?
Mm.
The whole thing was very strange. And like the table was so awkward, who all these people were. And like, as viewers, the only person we've ever seen is Carl's mom, and that was the only one she wasn't talking to. It was so strange. It was very strange, especially us all knowing what was going to happen.
They should not have gotten married. They should not have gotten married. He should not have proposed. She should not have dated him. They should not have lasted this long. They wanted a fairy tale. Fairy tales aren't real. Like, you make your own fairy tale. They were not making a fairy tale together. No. I don't even think they thought that they were in a fairy tale. I think that they just thought that they were thankfully at the end. And this is the issue that I think exists with some marriages, is that like, you think this is the end, and it's like, no, babe, you just like made a different kind of commitment. This is just the beginning.
Yeah. And I think that I'm hopeful that the two of them are mature enough to be able to film together, be in the same room.
Oh, 100%. They can't afford not to.
This
is not a New Jersey situation.
No.
These people know, and this is not a Vanderpump Rules situation.
Exactly.
Thank God, PS to all of us for that.
Yep.
They know they need to film.
And they also recognize their history with one another.
Mm-hmm.
They legitimately have a lot of mutual friends who are their legitimate friends. We've already seen, they've already gone to two of the same weddings.
Right. International.
And like, I have hope that like they will both just be mutually happy for one another after the sting is done.
I gave you a little look at mutual happy. No, I think that they're going to be at war and like,
but
do
I think they'll get, I mean, we're here for that. But
I mean,
I hope that for the sake of like Carl's recovery and his life, that he doesn't have to have the worry of like being at war with Lindsay, even though they're not even together. Like, I hope they can just like move on and coexist.
Well, I think maybe they'll be able to talk some stuff out now that they're like, so now that they are so viscerally publicly mad at each other, maybe this is the time where they'll be able to work through some stuff that they were too scared to do or too emotionally unavailable to do when they were together.
Right. And like Lindsay may be able to actually help Carl now that she's not scared to say it because it's not going to ruin a marriage.
I don't know that they'll ever be friends again. I don't think that they should.
I don't think they should, but they were for so long.
But it changed.
They ruined it.
That's the risk you take that nobody wants to think about. We just
now
want to think
coworkers.
About like, we've had trust with each other. We've had years with each other.
Yep.
It's not even that their coworkers are like kind of enemies at this point.
Yeah.
It's like, this is the risk that nobody wants to say is that like, what happens if it doesn't work out? Everybody thinks they're still going to be friends, but nobody thinks that they'll have to deal with it because they'll stay together forever.
So how is that going to work next summer if one of them brings someone else to the house?
Not even next summer. Lindsay's dating somebody.
Yeah. But when they're filming.
Oh God, can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, same.
Although like Danielle said some stuff about like Carl's.
Oh, Danielle.
I know. Poor sweet Danielle.
She's another one. She just can't get out of her own way. I'm like, I hope she watches some of these scenes and she's like, oop, maybe I shouldn't have given that delivery. Mm-hmm. Like, I am Paige in every single one of those reaction shots when she is talking to Danielle. Like the CEO and founder thing. Paige is like, did you really just say that? It's like, come on now. Like, I'm not like taking it personally. Like, neither is Paige. But like some of the things Danielle says, it's like, okay, like we need to tone it back a little bit for the sake of other people's like well-being.
Yeah.
She's a little tough.
She's not a great listener.
No.
And that is difficult.
Yeah.
And I think because she and Lindsay are now just like only now working on their relationship, I think that is might be a little tough for her to try to navigate, or maybe not. Maybe because there was distance with her and Lindsay and her and Carl, that she's just going to be like, this is not the thing where I need to be so active. And also Gabby is like very vocal in her mm-hmm. opinions, which is a good thing because Lindsay won't rely on Danielle. And also, P.S., she has everybody else. Like Paige gets it. Amanda 100%. Gets it. Sierra gets it. Like all the women on the show understand what's happening.
And they're like, you don't have to marry him just because you want to get married. Like we see how it's going and it's not going well and we've got you.
And it's just not, I think that Sandoval was so black and white.
Yep.
And so maybe some of us, understandably so, myself included, certainly, felt like this was going to be black and white initially because we heard he had done it on camera. There was just some feeling about that. Then that shifted, I think, for some of us with the cocaine Carl of it, where it was like, of course they can't get married. And now it's just, I don't know that it's become nuanced or it's just layered where it's like, it's not that. I just don't think that Carl was the victim in his relationship. I think he had an active role and what he needs to be held responsible for not taking it.
Yeah.
And also some of his treatment of his fiance is suspect. It feels like he's setting her up to fail a little bit in a way that I don't love, which doesn't negate Lindsay's toxicities and her reactivity and her potential explosiveness. But it is to say that like Carl, they should not have been together, but like
confirmed.
Carl isn't like just an innocent dove in this.
No.
And he shouldn't be treated that way. I don't think, at least by me.
Yeah. I think they're both in the wrong and it's both so clear that Lindsay was maybe trying harder to make it work, to your point about like she thought they were going to see it through and it was just going to be like relationship will be work.
Mm.
Whereas Carl just was like, how am I going to get out of this without being horrible? Because I do have love for Lindsay. And he just got like totally lost in his ways and like handled it so poorly.
Do you think that there's a comparison that could be made in how Lindsay and Kyle approach relationships and how Carl and Amanda do? Or is that completely off the wall?
I don't think it's off the wall in the sense that like Kyle and Lindsay are alpha personalities and Carl and Amanda aren't necessarily as big personalities. I think that's an easy comparison. And the fact that, like, because they are more alpha, they give off that, like, I'm the main character and you're the side character in my story energy. And that can get really hurtful for Amanda and Carl. And maybe Amanda and Carl don't know how to properly communicate that, which is why for Amanda, it ended up just being like, I'm just going to stay quiet. And for Carl, it ended up coming out really wrong.
Yeah. The episode was so... It was such a strong episode. I do just have to shout out whatever the fuck is going on with Jesse Solomon. I'm hoping for the best. That breakdown in the car, I just wanted to hug him. I think he's such a vibrant, he seems like a vibrant, friendly, just like...
Lover of life.
He's got that, you know, just like spirit and happiness that we love to see. He has a great sense of humor. And just to know what he is dealing with and struggling with, and the feeling like there he felt something during, you know, a self-exam, and with this doctor's appointment coming up and the history of it all. Can I get to this point of being in remission? It's just, I just really hope everything, I just really hope that everything works out. I know that everyone does, but it's just like, he just seems like such a mensch. He really does.
And I think, like, many people can take notes from his outlook of life on, like, how he can be so positive and loving and supportive and funny and fun and still have those moments. And, like, I have to shout out that little friendship of theirs.
Oh, my,
like,
God.
They didn't even, like, know each other. And that was, like, a real moment of Wes being there with Jesse. Jesse feeling comfortable enough to open up to Wes. Wes delivering full on and being as good of a friend that he could be in that moment. Like, that was a really special moment. I'm glad the editors kept that in there.
And Jesse Solomon on the after show being like, well, I'm a man. I'm supposed to, like, internalize my feelings. And I just thought, like, babe, like, you don't have to.
We're here for you.
Join us in the world of not being. I mean, we all do that to some extent, but just like the gender politics to just, like, break out of it, babe. You don't need to.
Totally.
Welcome to reality TV.
Yeah. He's learning.
He is learning. Listen, before we wrap, there is a little dynamic we have not really addressed when it comes to all things Sierra and West, the boyfriend girlfriend titling, the not fucking, the maybe texting. What's your reaction to all of this?
My reaction is I was shook when Sierra called West her boyfriend, because, like, she herself was the one saying, I have consistently dove in way too deep too quickly on multiple seasons of the show and off the show, which we've seen with Austin and whoever. And her saying that, like, I know she was probably doing, like, haha, laugh funny, but she, like,
Teresa.
She probably caught herself off guard a little bit, because, like, to me, they are not boyfriend and girlfriend. You have to be so much further along romantically, spiritually, mentally, physically to be considered exclusive. And I think that's what West was trying to say. And he just, like, said it like a boy. And that's why it came across of, like, you're not my girlfriend. You haven't had sex with me. And it's like, that's not what he was trying to say. And you could tell when he, like, made that little noise in the confessional that he got, like, nervous. And he was like, I don't know. I don't think that's what I was trying to say. But I'm just trying to explain that I feel like we have more connection to do before I'm her boyfriend. So I'm glad that I was nervous about the scene of Paige telling West, like, I will kill you. And him saying, yes, he's seeing other girls. The actual show showed the whole scene. And he said, I am not seeing anyone else. I'm flirtatiously texting, but I'm not, like, physical with anyone else. Made me feel a little bit better, because then Paige has right for murder. But I think that that's another one of those things where, like, West is saying it to Jesse and Paige is saying it to Sierra, and they're all kind of tiptoeing it. And it's like, Sierra and West need to just talk to each other about it. You're not boyfriend or girlfriend if you can't even have that conversation.
Yeah. And, like, while I know that, like, cuddling is wonderful, like, if we're doing that, but we're not really going on dates and we're just developing this, like, physical closeness.
Total closeness.
That can really kind of fuck things up. Like, learn from worst case scenario, but like learn from Lindsay and Carl in that way. Don't skip ahead of some of this stuff because it's going to catch up with you later. And I think it is now.
And because it's just comfy, cozy, easy. Like, oh, great. We're already in this house together. Yeah. We already have the same group of friends. We make out on the weekends. Mm-hmm. Perfect. And it's like, no, like, you need to like learn about each other's life and values and spend genuine time together. And like, he needs to take you out and you need to surprise each other and do all those things that like happen when you're starting to date someone. And they've just, yeah, they've just kind of fast forwarded it because it's convenient.
Is there any way that they're together or tried this?
So I thought so because when he was on Watch What Happens a few weeks ago, there was all that stuff that basically came out that like Sierra had visited his family's farm and his like dad posted it on Facebook and some sleuth like found it. I'm like, oh. And Wes said something on Watch What Happens like, yeah, well, I guess you can't put anything on the internet these days or whatever it was. And then I saw something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but he was like getting interviewed by like Page Six or something and alluded to being single in some degree. And I was like, bummer.
Yeah, he said to somebody that he was like so excited when some fucking model followed him, and I'm sure that model is a lovely person, but I was like,
it's
no.
Like Sierra's a fucking model.
I know. Was it Sierra? They are so cute together, and
so
she
cute.
Lights up in a way that she deserves, and like, yes. Austin is human garbage, and
literally.
I just think she deserves to have whatever happy ending she wants. I just think that like,
maybe they're taking it slow now that they're not filming. They're like actually doing regular dating.
I don't think that. I think it's either over or not. You know, like, I don't think
and
that they're like
rekindle in the summer when they're back
or not. I think that maybe this was like the moment and the moment. It's like scene in My Best Friend's Wedding, which I watched on the plane for the 19th time of like, you know, you have that moment.
Yeah.
And when the moment passes, it's gone. It might be gone. Gone, girl.
That's so sad.
I know, but this.
But they all do seem. Sorry.
No,
they
please.
All seem.
I was
like,
about to wrap.
So I still think this is, I know. But last thought. I do think seeing how active the cast currently is on social media in this day and age, like they are hanging out, they're commenting on one another's. Like, I just love that they're real friends. And like Jesse and Wes are posting with all of them. They're hanging out with Kyle. Jesse comments on every single one of Sierra's pictures. Like Amanda and Jesse have a hilarious relationship. Like that's all just making me very happy. And goes back to us saying that they shouldn't change the cast.
Yeah, and Gabby and Lindsay are really, really close.
Legit friends.
Which I love. Love to see it.
She needs a best friend who didn't also date Carl.
Yes.
It's okay if Lindsay and Danielle are
alert,
friends.
There are a few people in New York who have not dated Carl, yes. And thank fucking God for that.
Yes, two on this couch, I think.
I can you imagine?
Sarah's like, actually. No, I do think that has a huge factor in Lindsay and Danielle's relationship too. Like, and Danielle says that on Watch What Happens Live sometimes. Like, she'll still be like, well, I slept with Carl. And it's like, okay, that's fucking weird.
She does say some things about his sex drive that I'm like, I feel like we should not know this.
Nor should she still be saying that, trying to become friends with Lindsay again.
Yeah, I don't love it. I don't love it, but that's a conversation that will continue. In the meantime, tell the AGs and tippers where they can follow you on social, mention it all.
Yes, follow me on Instagram and Threads at Abby Bonadies. Follow me on TikTok at Abs Bon, and I'll be talking about all things reality TV all the time, and I can't wait for our Vanderpump reunion tomorrow, or I don't know when this is coming
out. This is coming out on Thursday, I think.
Well, in that case,
we will have survived it.
Will we have survived it is the question.
That is truly, oh God, I'm not looking forward to it, but I am. I'm looking forward to it. I am. I'm just like, I'm just a little nervous.
We just
need the closure. I'm just like, I just want Lala to be behaving differently. And that's sort of unfair of me to expect that. But it also is just like, inspiring me to kind of like look at my appreciation for her differently. Yeah. And maybe it was situational and not just think
it was influenced to some degree.
See. I don't know how much of it was really a kind of
like producer.
Well, no, I just think that like I thought she had changed more fully than maybe she had. And she has every right to have the opinions that she does. I just don't know how much those are connected with what we are watching.
Absolutely.
She's trying to convince us that what we are watching is not Right. Or a reel. And that's a difficult strategy to make.
And there's like a lot of, she admitted it herself, like even projection of her own experiences onto their experience. Like when she started panicking about how mean everyone was being to Raquel, like Rachel, she was like, I've seen where that can go. So I'm going to soften up. So I think there's a lot of factors there that we may need to revisit in another episode.
Yeah, you're coming back ASAP. Because
we also
TLDR.
Need to talk about the valley.
Oh my God. Now I'm excited. I am also very deep into my back muscle relaxer. So before I pass out, you are 100% coming back. Yes. We need to talk about the valley. We need to talk about VPR.
And I'm almost done with my Marriage to Medicine binge.
What season are you on?
I just started 8. So I'm really close. It's the COVID season, which is tough. But
you know what? But still really good.
Especially
with
for doctors. Like that's a different angle than the housewives.
That was very intense. And the toil of it. There was a lot there when it came to reactions to stuff and the pressure placed on them because of COVID and everything else. It's just the single best show on Bravo. Never too late. Start from the beginning. Would you recommend? Yeah.
Day one, episode
OG.
One.
You got to be an OG of the MTM. So mazel kadoos to you for that. Also, just need a shout out and thank all the Patreon AGs. It's the number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. I do want to record a Satchel Spectacular this week. So send me, message me, DM me your Satchels of Gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns about all things Summer House, VPR, The Valley. What else were we watching? Vanderpump Rules, New Jersey. I'll mention it all.
That's everything.
I think that's literally everything. If you want to do a little baby reindeer satchel, would love to read it. And I may unpack them on that Satchel Spectacular on the AG Patreon. Number one way, again, to support the pod at patreon.com/AndysGirls. Follow me on Instagram at Allegedly Threads at Dame Galley. And I am off to collapse. But this episode restored me. It restored me. Thanks to all of you for listening. And we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.